Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you we can gather. We thank you for your enduring, precious, perfect word. Help us to understand even more clearly who you are this morning, and maybe just as clearly more who we are, and of our total dependence, that need of you. We are desperate for you. Maybe we don't even recognize it, but without you, we are nothing. And through you and in you, we are eternally, in one respect, everything. So, Lord, help us to be more thankful, I would say, as we look at your word today, maybe than ever before, as we start to grasp again your truth as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're back to Psalm again today, and we are in the middle of Psalm 119. In fact, verse 88 is the break point between the first 88 verses and the last 88 verses, and we are in kind of a downer today with the psalmist really suffering. And we are reminded, I think, of how much of a tendency we have when things are really tough. We have such a tendency to doubt God. We have such a tendency to be impatient. And we have such a tendency for whatever we're going through to be over, right? And we may even think that today is a tough time to live in. I don't think it's anything compared to what it was at the time of the psalmist. And I was even looking back at the book of Jude, who's quoting Enoch. Enoch is probably 5,000 years ago. And what was his concern about the evil ones? In fact, as I read just three verses here out of Jude, we're talking here about, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, he's born of Cain. We had Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel, and born of Cain is Enoch. It goes all the way back, doesn't it? Now, they lived a long time, so, you know, it doesn't, like, it's 5 years, and, you know, it's probably hundreds of years in a way, but still, it's a long time ago. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Now think about it. If you lived a time of 3,000 years before the Messiah came, you didn't know how long it was going to be, but you keep watching generations die and no Messiah. And you move forward now to 1,000 years before Christ, and that's where we have this psalm. And we see how the psalmist is so waiting for salvation. Now, how about you? How about me? Salvation has already come 2,000 years before we even got here. And his second coming is right around the corner. So we have it better than anybody has ever had it throughout history, in my opinion. And we're being closer now to his kingdom being established on earth than ever before, right? And we think, well, why doesn't he come? Why doesn't he come? And here we're right on the cusp of his second coming, not 4,000, 5,000 years before he came the first time. He's already come the first time. And so we have so much, I think, to be thankful for rather than woe is me and what a tough life I have and all the wickedness out there and how can it get any worse and oh, woe, woe, woe. I don't think that's what the Lord has for us as believers. But he does allow us afflictions, doesn't he? He allows us trials. And he gives great promises for those who are persecuted for his sake. Now, I don't know how many of us in here can really say we're being persecuted for his sake, in this nation particularly. We have difficulties, don't we? But I don't know about persecution for righteousness' sake. There's some of that, I guess. But at any rate, let's go on into the psalm and let us look at these 16 verses today. And Some have called this particular stanza the midnight of the psalm. It's really pretty gloomy, it's pretty dark, and yet we see such glorious hope and rays in it. I'll read the first 8 verses, and then we'll go through them verse by verse a little bit. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. As we're going through this psalm, I'm just struck by how many times the word your, Y-O-U-R, with a capital Y, are used. And when I look it up, there, I don't know if you know how many times the word your is used in the Psalms. What would you think? A lot, right? 898 times. 898 times. No wonder we love the Psalms. It's about him. It's not about us. Isn't that good? Now, if you want to really suffer, record your speech for a day and go back and count how many times your with a Y was used and how many times I or me was used. And it's kind of an interesting thing. I haven't done it because I don't want to suffer that much, but I can imagine what it is. But in verse 81, my soul faints for your salvation. Soul. Soul, what is soul? Actually, the definition is a breathing creature, nephesh. My soul faints. That means worn out, worrying, straining, stressed out. What's his soul straining for, fainting for? For your salvation. And there, I just kind of think is where that thought struck me that I've kind of been mentioning as we've gone along here. How the psalmist would be waiting for the coming of the Lord. All of them were waiting. Think of Abraham. Think of them all the way through the Old Testament saints. They believed in the Messiah would come, but he hadn't come. And they spent their whole life and they're going through all kinds of difficulties. And here, my soul faints for your salvation. But I hope in your word. Now, I think we're in a whole different situation now with the term hope than this is used right here. For us, the hope in the Bible is assurance. It's blessed assurance. It's an absolute positive fact. We know the Messiah has already come the first time, right? And we know he's coming the second time. But the Old Testament saints didn't have that privilege. They hadn't seen it yet. They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet, for the most part. God would give the Holy Spirit on people for a time, but not everyone had the Holy Spirit. And think about every believer today has the Holy Spirit in him. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And then, but I hope in your word. Now, we still have that opportunity to turn to him or not turn to him. Even though he's done everything possible for us, how much time do we spend when things are really hard, when they're really tough, and we start to question it, we start to doubt it, and we start to feel really, really sorry for ourselves? Isn't that the way we're made? I think it is. But how quickly can you say, but I hope in your word? But I hope in your word. I don't hope in the doctors. I don't hope in the political scene. I don't hope in whatever. I hope in your word. Is that what you're hoping in? And another sensation here, another organ, so to speak, the eyes, the sight. My eyes fail from searching your word. When's the last time you got eye ache from searching the word of God? My eyes fail, or weary, or strained from searching your word. And as he's searching, he's in pain, he's in difficulty, he's saying, when will you comfort me? When we're in trouble, isn't that kind of a word we kind of go to very quickly? When? How much longer? When, Lord? When are you going to heal me? Or when are you going to get me out of this mess? When are you going to get me out of this difficult situation? When will you comfort me? Well, he will comfort you, but I think he often uses time, doesn't he, to change us, time to let us cry out to him, time to, there's this waiting, isn't it? There's the waiting for the Lord. And I don't know about you, but every time I wait for the Lord, even a little bit, he blesses that so much, as opposed to just charging on out, getting ahead of him, making a mess of everything. And then 83, for I become like a wineskin in smoke. Now, in those days, they didn't have glass bottles. They may have had some ceramic stuff later on, but they kept things in wineskins, or they gave them skin, wineskin. They keep wine in a wineskin. They keep things in skins. Now, what happens to skin? If you don't have anything in it, it dries out. And so where would you put these skins? Because you didn't want to throw them away, so you'd hang them up, right? Now, you had smoke. Always, there was always a fire of some kind. You had to keep a fire, right? Otherwise, you'd freeze to death. So it's smoky in there. So what's more dry? What's more dry than a dried-out skin? So here's the psalmist saying, I have become like a wineskin in smoke. Now, how much does that apply to you? How much does that apply to me? I was remembering Keith Green's song where he was saying, Lord, give me baby skin. He was only 26 when he wrote that. But he says, I feel I'm getting hard and old and dried skin, you know. And that's what we're talking about here. For I have become like a wineskin in smoke. And so how soft and tender are you toward the word of God? How soft and tender are you toward the Lord? Or have you become like a wineskin in smoke, all dried up? Yet, now here's the other flip side of that, even though I'm dried up, yet I do not forget. Yet I do not forget. Yet I do not forget your statutes. Isn't that great? Even dried up, you still have that opportunity to not forget his word, right? Now, verse 84, how many are the days of your servant? That means you, that means me. How many are days? Or you could put it in the other word, how few, if you want to look at it the other side of it. But how many are the days of your servant? And he's talking about being in difficulty here. When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? So there we see a direct reference to the persecution that the psalmist was going through. And he says, how long? When? How many days do I have to go through this? And you may think that in your own life. Let's just say you pick 80 years or whatever you want to pick as your expected lifespan. How much of that 80 years do you think the Lord wants you in pain? I don't know, because it's different for everyone. Some people have been bedridden for years, right? And some people are never bedridden, and God takes them home. So it's not kind of a thing that we can really quantify, I don't think. But he says here, how many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? I don't think a day goes by or a week goes by where I don't get the idea somewhere along the line, Lord, take care of them, right? How long are you going to let them blaspheme your name? How long are you going to let them do this? Well, this is what the psalmist was saying 3,000 years ago. I think it's what, Enoch was saying 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, and judgment hasn't come yet, but we're getting close, aren't we? We are getting close. Now he goes on, the next couple of things are about how he's falsely persecuted and the difficulties and so forth. The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. Well, that's obvious because that's not according to the law of God. You don't snare people with pits. That's the opposite of the law. All your commandments are faithful. Now, I love that. How many of his commandments are faithful?
All.
Your commandments, not my commandments, his commandments, right? Not the president's commandments or the court's commandments, but his commandments are faithful. Isn't that amazing to see that a rule or whatever written down by the Lord is a faithful one? Not 1 out of 10, but not 9 out of 10, but all. And they persecute me wrongfully, so help me, help me, help me. Yes, I like that. Help me. Here he came near death, apparently, in 87. They almost made an end of me on earth. I can think of David in that one. Think of Saul with 3,000 select men chasing him around for years. They're trying to kill him. They almost made an end of me on earth. But we see until the Lord is done with your ministry, nobody's going to wipe you out. Unless he wants to bring glory through that situation. I did not, again, but I like that. I did not forsake your precepts. Now, I don't know that I can say that. Sometimes I can say that. But sometimes I may get weak on the precepts. But now it closes with such a wonderful verse in this stanza. Revive me. Bring me back to life, Lord. Revive me, what? According to your, again, your, what? Loving kindness. Oh, what a Savior, what a Father we have, don't we? Revive me according to your loving kindness. Why? So that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. The only time in this psalm testimony is used as singular, every other time it's testimonies, but here it's that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Revive me so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Now we're going to shift a little bit in these next 8 verses. We're going to primarily look at the everlasting nature of him and his word, which is always there anyway, but verse 89, forever, forever, forever. How long is that? Forever. Oh Lord, what? Your word is settled in heaven. Think about that. His word is always settled in heaven. Your faithfulness, his faithfulness, what? Endures. His faithfulness endures to every other generation. Is that what it says? To all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. I love it. They continue this day according to your ordinances. You know, I like to write down the hour the sun rises and the sun sets, particularly as we go down through this dip here. And it's almost this last week has been the shortest day of the year, the 22nd or 21st. But we're within a minute of that still today, because what's happening now, it's staying light a little bit longer, but the sun is actually rising a little later than it was a week ago, which is amazing. But the thing that's so amazing, because of his ordinances are so pure, we know from now and forevermore, for example, exactly when the sun is going to rise and when it's going to set. And when when we read about the lines that it comes up, you know, now it's way over there on the south, right? And every day it's going to come up a little bit further north now for the next 6 months until finally we get to June 22nd, and then it's way over on the north, right? And as it kind of comes up, it kind of, you see the lines where some of the Psalms talk about his, the lines of his light or the lines of his sun. That's the line that the sun makes. So those of you who have flowers that need sun, you know, that are facing the west, you get, usually get a lot of sun in the summer, but now you get hardly any because it's so far south, it just kind of creeps in on a little of them, right? And you know that. But it's just amazing to me to know that this is so precise. And another thing is so precise, we know when New Year's is coming. 365 and a quarter days every time we get a new year. It's not like, well, last time it came a little early, and next time it's going to come a little late. It's right on time, isn't it? Now, is there a God or is there a God? Oh, it just happens. It just happens. It's actually evolutionary. That's why we know that it's going to come on. Yes, amazing. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances. For all are your servants. Who is ruling the universe? God. All are his servants. All of these things that happen are because of him. For all are your servants. Now, I like this one. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. Think about that. I don't know how many of you are going through affliction today. I'm sure some of you are. Some of you may be going through a big one today or maybe a big period. You're not going to perish because of him. You may think you are. And without him, you would. I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I think we don't forget his precepts because his word doesn't let us forget his precepts. I will never forget your precepts, for by them. I think we are reminded of him because of him and because of his word, not because we're doing such a great job of remembrance, right? Or at least I think that element is in there. I will never forget your precepts, for by them, by your precepts you have given me life. Only the God of the Bible gives life. All other so-called gods give death. And even us, without him, will not have eternal life, right? And then he says, I am yours. Again, I am yours. Oh, it's so good just to say those three words over and over again to him with heartfelt love and gratitude. I am yours. When's the last time you just said, I am yours? I am yours. I am yours, save me, for I've sought your precepts. I've sought your precepts. I am yours, save me. And did you know that's already promised and done? What do we read in John, first chapter, verse 12? But as many as received them, what? To them, they became the children of God. And you won't find any verse in the Bible where it says, and they unbecame children of God. They became children of God. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. Always turn back to the word. And now the comparison between God and man. Verse 96, I've seen the consummation of all perfection. What's the consummation of man's perfection? Temporary, right? Look at the best thing that man has ever done. It's temporary. It never lasts. I've seen the consummation of all perfection, but on the other hand, your commandment is exceedingly broad, and I think that's the great definition of what eternity is all about, right? Because his commandment is eternal. exceedingly broad. It doesn't end. So where do we want to put our hope and emphasis? On trying harder ourselves without Him, or surrendering to Him completely, right? Well, Father, we just thank You for Your word, and so provocative as we kind of think some of these things through. We can't think very clearly, but we just see Your enduring loving kindness and Your patience for us and the great gifts You have done. You've done everything for us, Lord. So help us in this morning as we have time to pray, and to pray as You would lead us, and help us to remember the lost, Lord, because that is the issue before most of us, is we are so thrilled to be Yours, but we are not thrilled with those around us who are not seemingly Yours yet. So guide us and lead us now as we would pray in Jesus' name. As we come to the end of the hour, I thought we would sing this song, which is a good reminder of where we are. And I don't think it matters 2024, it's a hard year, an easy year. I think it matters whether we stick close to Him or not. He is going to be faithful. His word endures. It's settled in heaven forever. And the worse things get here on earth, probably the better chance we have for witness, because the light compared to darkness may get greater. That means greater opportunities in the year ahead. But whether we take advantage of the opportunities is all up to us. He'll give us opportunities. Are we going to do something with them? And so let's just stand and sing this song, "This Is My Father's World." And the third verse I particularly like, "This is my Father's world, oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world, the battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one." So let's sing that song. Father, we do thank You for meeting us here today once again. And Lord, as we do think about a new year coming up in a week or so, we know it'll come right on time because Your ordinances never fail. And they are Your servants. Help us to be Your servants, Lord. Bless each one here this morning, and may we be a light this week, a light today. I don't know if You'll give us this week or not, but You gave us today, this morning, Help us to be a light until you take us out of here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.